You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right now, let's get our conversation on the line with Mfundisi Usarifu, who's talking to us about the second coming. And by the way, I want to emphasize, it's a when Jesus comes. It's not a if Jesus comes. Let's jump right in, Pastor Usarifu. How does the book Great Hope describe the manner and purpose of Christ's second coming?
Yeah. When we get into the book, The Great Hope, it tells us that it paints the coming of Christ as deliverance coming to a people who have been living with this hope and this anticipation of great deliverance.
Right.
The coming of Christ is seen as the coming of one who is to rescue his people out of great hardship and oppression, and from living far away from him, and that they are now brought into the very presence of God, and they enjoy fellowship, deliverance from death, as we were talking yesterday on the subject of death, you know. So it shows us that the coming of Christ really is all about rescue, is all about bringing now an end to hardship and suffering.
So you will notice that Christianity seems to be making a big deal about this second coming of Jesus. Why? Why is the second coming central to Christian faith?
Yeah. I think we can bounce it off of yesterday's conversation, you know, touching the issue of death.
Mm.
That if there's no hope of a coming Messiah, then there is no hope of resurrection, because the Bible does point to the coming of Christ as the time where the people of God will be delivered from the grasp of death. So the second coming of Christ really is the climactic event where we see an end to suffering, where we see an end to Satan's continued attack against God's people, where his grasp and his power over humanity would be brought to an end, and the people of God are now delivered out of this hardship. And Christ himself, it is a fulfillment and assurance of the faithfulness of God, because Christ does a promise that I am going, but as I go, I will come back again. I am going to but prepare a place for you, and when I come back, I shall rescue you now and take you that where I am, you too may be.
Okay. So that's the nub and the crux of it. So what signs should we be aware of without falling into obsession of fear, by the way?
Yeah. When you go into the Bible, particularly in the Gospels, the book of Matthew chapter 4, the Bible does tell us there that it is Christ conversing with his disciples, and they ask him, you know, when shall the end be? And he goes on to narrate all these events that shall precede his coming. Maybe let us turn together to the book of Matthew chapter 24. When we get there, he says to them, there shall be many who come in my name. There shall be an amplification of wars, nations rising up against nations. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and all these things. He goes on to give on many other examples, or rather many other signs, rather, that point to his coming. Says, when you see all these things, know that now the end of the age is to come. In fact, one commenter, Christian author, goes on to say, adding on to the words that are written in the, in this very chapter, Matthew 24, the author says, when these things happen, and as we see them intensifying and then following each other in quick succession, we should raise our eyes up, which is also a direct quote from the Bible. Lift our eyes up, for now the salvation that we have been looking for, which is the coming of Christ, does draw near.
Okay. All right. So how do you balance joyful anticipation with responsible living?
I missed that. Could you please come again?
The expectation is that you will anticipate Christ and you'll be happy about it and you'll look forward to it, but then still you don't live in the future, you live in the present. As such, you need to live a responsible, Christianly responsible life now. So I'm asking, how do you balance those two, the joyful anticipation of the coming of Jesus and the current need and expectation, obligation even, to live a responsible Christian life?
Yeah. I think that is very important. I remember a fellow theologian back in seminary. There's a statement he loved repeating, some of us are so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly relevance.
Mm.
We think and reason as though we are already in heaven. But anyway, we shall not unpack that too much.
Yes.
The point of living in the here and now with the hope and expectation of the hereafter is very important, that as we look forward to that coming, as we look to that great deliverance that God's people are promised or assured of, we ought to live now. We ought to conduct ourselves now in a way and manner that does tell that we look for that Messiah, we look for that coming, we look for that hope. We do not forgo our responsibility in being stewards of the mysteries of God. It's First Corinthians chapter 4. That say we are stewards today, and we have a responsibility today to carry out today as we live to the world around us, and even to our God. We should not then think that because now we are looking for this great coming, then we can sit in idleness, we can sit and do nothing, and think to then enjoy what is yet to come, because we have not been called to idleness. You know, I remember one preacher saying, we are waiting, and then use the illustration of a waiter in a restaurant, and says, waiters don't just stand there and sit and say, I am a waiter. No, they wait in the sense of serving, in the sense of going out to the tables and going to the people and hearing what their needs are and meeting those needs, getting the orders and taking them. So it says we too are to understand waiting in that sense, not in just sitting in idleness, but in actually going out to the people and even as for the coming of the Messiah.
Well, that's an interesting perspective of waiting for Jesus. Okay, that's an interesting perspective. Finally, Mfundisi, what does living in readiness look like on a daily basis? Just give us a practical blow-by-blow picture of what living, waiting in readiness for Jesus look like.
Yeah, and that living in readiness and that waiting, that is, I partner with God today. I relate with Him today. I soak myself in His word today, and I go out to minister that very word to others, that they too may receive this good news of Jesus coming and that they too may have their eyes fixed on this coming of the Messiah. You know, it means that as we live our lives, when you go into the Old Testament, we learn there about the sanctuary and its services, and we are told that as the multitude, the congregation of the children of Israel, was standing outside the sanctuary, and the high priest was inside the sanctuary on earth, they would wait with great anticipation. And in that time, it was the time where they would give themselves seriously to prayer. They would give themselves seriously to meditation on God's word. They would really be praying for themselves and for one another, and even for the very the priest who is in the most holy place, in the sanctuary. You know, and then we learn then in the book of Hebrews that we too have an high priest, and this high priest pointing to none other than Christ, and that even as those people took the time of waiting for him to come back to them coming out of that sanctuary, we too are to be in such seriousness with our walk of faith and in our prayer life and our meditation on God's word, and that we are to pray and intercede for fellow believers, for those around us, and even for those who may not know and may not have received this news of the second coming, so that they too may be brought into the joy of the waiting.
Right, this waiting. Okay. All right, Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. We are grateful that you made time for us. We're looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.